Every philosopher spends time in meditation. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, School of the Master, Absolute Monastery, Far Valley Ranch, University of Healing, Printing
Press,
printing press, and stuff like that, and bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. Every philosopher spends time in meditation. Would you believe that? Well, let's first go back to our definition of meditation. Meditation, according to Webster's Dictionary, means to think about. And we are always thinking about things all the time. And we are told to go into meditation. We're told to go into thinking. We're told to go into doing these things. And, you know, what does your father say to you when you were a youngster? Think before you act. Don't be so, you know, unthinkable before you act. Think before you act. And when you're spontaneous, you sometimes make a mistake. So think before you act. Well, actually, if we could be taught how to act before we think, we would be the most intelligent people in the world, because we would be listening to our first thought, which is long since gone by the time we start realizing that we're thinking. Because our first thought just flits right through our mind, and it says, ha-ha, you didn't catch me this time, you didn't catch me this time. And it's saying that hundreds of times every day, maybe thousands of times. And we want to learn to, in our meditation, to capture that first thought. So, I recommend that we have a game of basketball. And that in this game of basketball, we have the players, and we have the ball, and we have the court, and we have baskets on either end. And the players are going back and forth, and some are defending, some are being the offensive, and some are trying to throw the ball to make the net and things like that. And all these things are going on. Now, how would you win a basketball game? Well, there's so many players involved. How would you do it? Well, the simple thing is, as in golf, as in tennis, as in singles sports, you keep your eye on the ball. You visualize the ball going into the hole, the ball going across the net in an advantageous way for you. Well, the same with basketball. You visualize the ball going where you want, that your team makes the baskets, that your team is making the success in doing this. And that's what you visualize. Now, how do you visualize this? Well, you visualize this by using your time of meditation. You look at the ball in the court, and you see it going every way, and you see all that confusion. And so then you think to yourself, I'd like to help my team. In fact, my team is important to me. I got a bet on them. Yeah. So I want my team to win. So you say, go team, yeah, go. And then you see the person sitting next to you is very quiet. And you think, don't they get excited about anything? And then you nudge them, hey, you're not watching the game. And the person says, oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. I'm meditating. I am seeing my team win. Which team is yours? Oh, that's my team too. Oh, is that why they've been playing better tonight than usual? You've been meditating for them. He said, well, that's probably a reason. I see them winning for me. Not for themselves or anybody else, but I see them winning for me. I see them winning because I choose to have them be winners. They don't deserve to win or not deserve to win. They just win because I put the cause in motion, because I am the creator of my world. I am the creator of my thought. I'm the creator of my attitude. I'm the creator of my life. And I create my life in meditation. I create my life in silent thinking about that which I desire to experience. And if I am Tiger Woods, I see the ball, I look down, I see the ball, and then I see the ball into the hole, or wherever I choose to have it go. I see the ball doing that. I see it doing that, doing that, doing that. And there's another young lady from the Philippines now who is also another Tiger Woods. And on the cover of Business Week magazine, they had a picture of her. Business Week magazine, you know. And they say, Tiger Woods, watch out, here she comes. I mean, what a mundane, ordinary thing. But golf and Tiger Woods and so on must be quite important for people. Now, what do you think Tiger Woods' mom and dad do while he's playing golf? Do they see him in their closed eyes? And they don't have to watch him at the game. With their closed eyes, seeing him make every move with his club in perfect divine order to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in his mind. They see him accomplishing what he wants to accomplish in his mind, because they don't want to see them accomplishing what they want to accomplish, because they would just see the end of the game and he won, you know, which is good too. But they see him doing every strike, every stroke of the ball in perfect harmony to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. They are meditating. Their eyes are closed. Good boy, Tiger. You're doing fine. You're doing fine. You're making that perfect ball. Oh, Tiger, you are so wonderful. Oh, Tiger. Yeah. With their eyes closed and to themselves. They're praising and praising and praising that child. And he's not a child anymore. He's a young man. But think about it. Think about it. That poor Tiger Woods doesn't have a chance to lose. He's got his mom and his dad and his girlfriend, and he's got his family, and he's got his dog and his cat, and he's got himself all treating that he win the game. And the news analysts, the news reporters are all saying, well, there all comes a time when you got to start losing. There comes a time when you can win all the tournaments and then you don't win them anymore. Some people do. There comes a time, and if you listen to those news broadcasts, you're just destroying yourself. You're destroying yourself because you choose to win at all times. At all times. Not because you're against somebody else, but because you choose to win by your exquisite playing, by your exquisite use of the power of the law of cause and effect. And this is what Tiger Woods does. This is how he achieves it. Now, what about you? You come around here and you say, I need a healing. I hurt. You say, I need more money. I need to have better relationships. I need to have my son, my daughter, my sister, my brother, my friends, my sister. You're a sister, right? And you got a whole family full of kids, a whole kids full of family. And my dog and my cat aren't behaving and so forth. Shut up. Don't you ever tell me anything is wrong in your life. You just come to me and you say, Herb, I know you are a good meditator. I know you are a good one to speak your word. Please speak your word with me that I am successful. And I'll say, you bet. Herb, please speak your word with me that I'm whole and perfect. You bet. But, hey, I'm speaking my word, but I feel some resistance with you. I feel some resistance that you say, oh, I wish, oh, if only, oh, oh, if only I were whole and perfect, if only, you know. And you're messing yourself up. You're pushing yourself right out of the bucket, right out of the wagon. And don't do that. Join me uninhibitedly. And say, I'm whole and perfect, whole and perfect, whole and perfect. I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic. I'm going, Herb, that's a silly way to do something. You're just a silly old goose. Now, what is that all about, you know? And I say, be silly. Be crazy. Be wonderful. And be whole and perfect. Can you afford to be whole and perfect? Only if you can afford to get rid of all your old attitudes that say you're not whole and perfect. Can you afford to be wealthy? No way. I say to you, you know, I'm independently wealthy, and I'm going to put a concrete strip all around our property here, and I'm going to put three concrete roads out to the highway from here, and I'm going to run one right straight on through La Posta Road, and we're going to buy the property and put the stuff in there properly. We're going to do it right, and it's done. You know, I see it in my mind's eye. It's done. Herb, that is silly. That is silly. We should spend the money first for what? You spend your money, I'll spend my money. You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, you spend your money, I'll spend money. And I'm just going to be doing what I want to do.
Okay.
And then, you know what I've been doing?
Uh-huh.
I've been telling you what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
I go down to Nigeria, and I say, whoosh, and there goes every one of Sybil's houses. She's a big company that she has. They're all gone. Gone. And Then I put a new wall around the whole area made out of what? Fiberglass. And it is untouchable by the moist weather, by mold or mildew and anything. And then I go inside. Of course, I've already done this. I sit with Sybil and Sam. And I just say, Sybil and Sam, don't tell me a thing. Just meditate on this now. Sybil, you have this property. Now, what kind of houses would you like here? What kind of a house would you like for yourself? Sam, what kind of a house would you like for yourself? What kind of a house would you like for having your church? Well, what kind of a place would you like for having meals prepared for your church people, you know, who come and enjoy that? What kind of a well system would you like? What kind of a beautiful lawns and meditation gardens that you'd have within your campanile here? All so beautifully done here in the middle of this Nigerian desert, Nigerian jungle, or whatever. One day it's a desert, one day it's a jungle. I don't want to hear. You don't tell me. And Sam doesn't tell me. But they're thinking. And Sam is saying, well, you know, if I really had the courage to say it, I'd like to put in this sort of a thing here. Totally off the wall. You know, totally outrageous. Totally wrong for somebody else. But not for Sam. And so what does Sam do? He creates himself a beautiful, gigantic scientific laboratory, 8 stories tall. And in that laboratory, he has all of these things that he's always wanted to do. He's been a dreamer of dreaming about chemicals and dreaming about things that he wants to do to make life easier and happier for the Nigerian people. And so he brings to him, and he can afford it, he brings to him the greatest scientific minds in Nigeria, who are able to develop and think on these things, and the scientific minds from all over the world to work on these programs and on these plans. He's meditating on this idea, and he's having this idea come through his mind. And he's in charge, but he doesn't have to be there, you know. He's in charge because he tells them what to do, and then he goes off and he has them do it. Now, that's wonderful, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't want to name any details because the details are things that have to come naturally from their mind. But in their meditation, then I see their meditations fulfilled. You hear? Now, all of you hate me, I know. And you hate me with a passion because I do something very terrible to each of you. I see each one of you with your dreams fulfilled now. And each one of you has your dreams fulfilled now. Each one of you has every dream you've ever had fulfilled right now. And you say, but I haven't. That's right. Because you don't even know what your dream is. You do not have a one-pointed dream in your consciousness that you would like to see demonstrated in your life, revealed in your life. You don't. I talk to you, and if I can twist you around a little bit in my talk, is that what you really want? You really think you'd like to have that? Or do you think this would be better? Hey, wouldn't it be nice to have something like this here? As I try to confuse you, I try to take you away from your dream, whatever that dream may be, and you let me. Don't do that. You say, this is my dream, and my dream is what I choose to have. And if that's your dream, and you're steady on it and firm on it, if that's what your meditation is, then it's done. But it's not done because you are not consistent in your meditation. You are not consistent in your dream. Now, I don't say that's bad or good. I'm just saying it's very unproductive. Now, if you'd like to be productive in your dream, Sybil says, I would like to have a spiritually illumined attitude about myself. What did you say when you first came here, Sybil? You said that you would like to have your light shine more beautifully, right? Something like that. And so that's why we themed it that way, about light. Okay, so, Sybil, what is the fact?
The light in me.
What is the fact?
The light in me shines out my true self.
That's right, but I am my pure light now. I am my true light now. The light that I'm shining out is my true self. Well, I don't see any results of your light shining out. And I want you to start seeing some results of your light shining out. Now, did you look at your plate and did you have the finest meal that you could ever imagine? Did you look at Rex laying there with his head on your head, his head on your feet, and just being enjoying you and admiring you and thinking you're just the greatest lady? Did you think those things? Yes, you did. And did they happen? Yes, they did. Now, let this be your light that is demonstrating it in every area of life. And with Ingeborg, Ingeborg says, I've got to have a new ball in my hip so that I can walk right. Okay, so we got our ball. I got to have a new joint in my knee so I can walk right. Okay, we got a new joint in her knee. And I said, now walk right. And she just wiggles around. And I said, Ingeborg, dance. And then she starts dancing and forgets to wiggle. She forgets to wiggle because she does not need to wiggle. But she thinks she needs to wiggle because that's what she thinks she has to do. She has to be tender to her knee. There's no tenderness to that knee. The only tenderness to the knee is in your mind. And that's the worst place to have tenderness on your knee, you know. So, go dance, sing, have fun. Walk back and forth on this concrete platform out here at least 6 or 8 times every day. And you don't. Walk up these stairs here every day 6 or 8 times. And you don't. And you've got the perfect rehabilitation center right here that it's anywhere in the world. And I said the same thing to Dorothea. Walk on this, and she wouldn't get her butt out of here. She'd sit in bed, and she'd read, and she'd underline. And we'd say, what did you underline? I don't know. Well, then why underline, you know? Because then the next time you read it, you say, oh, I underlined that, so I must have read it. But you see, this is not a rehabilitation center. This is a place where you are living your wholeness. You're living your dreams. You're living your meditations. And this is what this is all about. A philosopher spends his time in meditation of realization of everything being revealed. Amen.